The Sicilian expedition was not only disastrous for Athens, as we've seen, but also it had grave repercussions. Athens temporarily abolished the payment of tribute by the allies in an effort to prevent any revolts. Presumably, the people expected that when news of the catastrophe reached the allies, they would revolt from the Delian League. Yet, you can count the number of allies that did revolt on one hand. Places like Rhodes, Miletus, Chios, and Ephesus. And these places were encouraged to do so by that renegade Alcibiades. So, if he hadn't been around, perhaps they wouldn't have revolted after all. Again, we can't help but think that despite the Athenian oppression of their allies, that these states were getting enough out of the empire that they didn't want it to collapse. And besides, there was no other state that could take over its headship anyway. With Athens's fleet all but annihilated and tens of thousands of troops dead, the city was on its knees again. This is the same situation as when the plague had struck in 429. But in 413, the Athenians would not have been able to do anything about a widespread allied revolt. They had virtually no fleet left and massive manpower shortages now. But there wasn't this allied revolt. And as I said, the economic upsides of being in the League seemed to outweigh the downsides of Athenian rule. And that's very lucky indeed for Athens. But this is the point where the Spartans could have moved in for the kill. The war would have ended in 412. But for some reason, the Spartans didn't follow up the Athenian disaster in Sicily. And I don't know why. The Athenians are resilient, so the Spartans couldn't have thought that they would just curl up and die. But no matter, the fact that Sparta didn't press home its advantage at this time gave Athens the chance to regroup. Not that the road ahead was going to be an easy one, and it certainly wasn't helped by Alcibiades. I mean, thanks to him, Sparta finally began building a fleet of 100 triremes, and it solicited an alliance with Persia, an alliance that was finalized the following year in 412. Now, Alcibiades' asylum in Sparta proved costly to the Athenians. He'd persuaded the Spartans to make an alliance with Syracuse, as we talked about in the last lecture. And also, in that same year, 413, he'd successfully persuaded the Spartans to establish an enclave on Attic soil. And that's why a Spartan force under King Agis invaded Attica and occupied Decelea, which was about 24 miles or so from Athens, so uncomfortably close to the city itself. Holding Decelea meant that the Spartans didn't need to worry about annual invasions anymore, because they now had a permanent base in Attica. That meant that they could venture out from Decelea at any time of the year. They could devastate the Attic crops, and they could even attack Athens itself. Now, bad enough as these things were, Alcibiades' brokering of negotiations between Sparta and Persia was going to lead to an alliance between these two powers that would be a turning point in the war. In fact, we might argue that it's as big a turning point as the Battle of Salamis was in the Persian Wars. Persian involvement in Greek affairs and the Athenians' need to retain their allies along the coast of Asia Minor are the main reasons why the Athenians cobbled together another fleet. But the base for this new fleet was no longer the Piraeus, the harbor of Athens, but the island of Samos off the coast of Asia Minor. The theater of war is going to switch to this part of the world now. And it's truly amazing, isn't it, how the causes of the Peloponnesian War occurred in the Greek mainland and Corcyra off the coast, and yet we're now moving to Sicily in the Western Mediterranean and to Asia Minor. We've really spread out in this war, and no one at its beginning would have seen that.